the disciples' request to the Lord. The apostle said to the Lord in verse 5, increase our faith. And we'll come back and we'll look at that passage of Scripture and look at what I think is the surprising answer to their request. Right now, let's go back to the book of Mark and Mark chapter 6. And let me briefly look at, or just remind us, we're not going to read all this passage, and we're just going to touch on this a little bit, because the emphasis of Mark chapter 6 is what Paul was talking about as he was leading us in singing. It's God's compassion and his power. Those two things are combined as Mark is relaying to us the Lord's ministry with people. And at the beginning of that, and you had some questions this week, and if you looked at those things, it reminds us of God's compassion and his call for the disciples to have compassion. And tired or not, weary or not, people need help. People need encouragement. People need food. People need spiritual food. And so we see the Lord trying to teach his disciples this at this point, and Christ is modeling that for us. There's nothing that he doesn't have power over. And if you were to ask in Christian circles around the world, or even in many secular circles, if you would mention two things. If you would say fish and loaves, what would people know you were talking about? Jesus feeding the 5,000. That is just around the world. That's a reference to the power of God and his feeding of making those miracles and the 12 baskets and all the rest. The other thing that if you would say, walking on water, and immediately would come to mind in Christian circles and many, many secular circles would be Jesus walking on water. And if you've studied a little more, you'd also know that Peter tried that as well. He gave that a shot. And so those two things here in Mark chapter 6 are two of the best known miracles of the Lord that display his power, his ability to really bring food for thousands just from one boy's lunch. And then calm the sea and at the same time calm the disciples. So that chapter is about the Lord's compassion and his power. But there's a side story there, and that's what I want to touch on this morning. In Mark chapter 6, verse 52, he summarizes this event when the Lord is walking on water. He does not talk about Peter's walking on the water, and we'll go there for just a moment. But his concluding idea about that is in verse 52. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. He's saying that they were still fearful of storms. They were still fearful, not knowing Jesus' power, and they should have. And they're looking back on this, and Mark's recording it for us. They're looking back on this, basically saying, we should have known that from what he did with the fish and loaves. And so the question comes a little bit about faith. Why aren't they trusting the Lord? So let's go to Peter, to Matthew chapter 14, I think. Go with me there. I think it's 14. And it's Matthew's account of Peter walking, of the same incident that Mark is talking about, but he includes here Peter. Quickly reading it from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself. to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, middle of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, this is one of my favorite areas in Scripture. This is just a lot of fun for me as I read this and think about the Lord's countenance. Why is he doing this? Why did he send them ahead? He was going to take time to pray. I understand that. But why didn't, when he catch up with them, why didn't he just get in the boat? Or why didn't he just wait and go to the other side and wait for them to come across? Calm the sea and have them come across. So obviously he's showing them some things. He's showing them his power. He's going to show them his power over the waves and weather. But it gives me a little insight into the Lord's, as he's, well, wait a minute. I think I'll walk out from the boat a ways and walk by them and see what they say. And what did they say? Oh, it's a ghost. Is that, you know? And well, these guys have been fishermen. They've been fishing this same waters for years. People don't normally go out there and walk on the water. And so, what is it? It's a ghost. It's whatever. Well, you know, I don't know about what your view of the Lord is and how you see him in Scripture, but I see a smile on his face here. I see him go, Father, watch this. Now, believe me, I don't know if that it all happens like that, but that's how I view it. And so he sees these guys, and then here's what happened. They were frightened, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Relax. Hey, it's me. I'm just walking on the water tonight. Yeah. You know, we fed the 5,000, remember that? No, we don't remember that very well. I'm walking on the water. Not be afraid. Here's Peter. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, that's interesting what Peter did. He didn't just jump out of the boat and start walking. He said, if that is you, yeah, I think it is, command me to come to you. I'd like to do this thing. And what does the Lord say? See it there? Come. You want a command? Come. All right. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Oh, cool. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Did he say, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Or did he say, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? See, we can interpret Scripture in a number of ways. The words don't always give us all the meaning. And so, here I'm choosing to say, he said, no, Peter, you a little faith, why'd you doubt? And then they get in the boat. This brings up the question of faith. And remember, when Dina read, the question was, how does my faith get increased? Increase my faith, they said to the Lord. When we look at this passage, the Lord dealing with his disciples, these disciples are not bond slaves of Jesus Christ at this time. They are, in their mind, they are lieutenants and sergeants and privates and whatever other commanders, whatever designation you want to give, in Lord's army, kingdom, reign. They feel that they have they are fellowshipping, they are his disciples, they are walking with Jesus, they are learners from him, he is teaching them, we are his people, we are his buddies, we are his team, if you please. And later they're going to ask questions like, which one of us is on the right, and which one of us is on the left, and what, you know, who am I in this kingdom? So, when we see them responding to Christ, the miracle of feeding the 5,000, or Peter walking on the water, they have a totally different mindset than what they have in Acts. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's a totally different mindset. One's a mindset of we're coming along with Jesus and we are going to be somebody in his program. After, in the book of Acts and on in the New Testament, that's not their mindset at all. Their mindset then is they are bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. The simple answer to the question, why did Peter begin to sink, is that Peter was doing what Peter wanted to do. And when Jesus said, come, which Peter said, command me, and Jesus said, come, Peter didn't obey the command. He started to obey the command, but when things got rough around him, he quit obeying the command. Interesting. You look at Peter in the book of Acts or in the other accounts in the gospel, in the letters of the New Testament, and then ask yourself this question. If Peter was in a boat and Jesus was 50 yards away and Jesus said to Peter, now this is book of Acts later on, Peter, the Lord says to Peter, come here. What do you think Peter would have done? He'd have walked on the water all the way and he wouldn't have sunk. Because why? Of his faith? No. He is later a bondservant of Jesus Christ who does what Jesus tells him. There is a big difference. And so when I was wrestling with this, trying to figure out what increases our faith, I look at this, and they said, Mark tells us they had a hardened heart. They had a hard head, I might add, and a hardened heart. What is that? Well, that's before you've come to learn and realize who you are. You are dead in Christ. Christ is living in you. You no longer live for yourself. You live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if he says walk on water, if he says come, then you walk on water. You obey. Let's go back to that passage in Luke chapter 17. Because it is a surprising answer. To their request. At least it surprised me. Let's look at the context in 17 for just a moment, because this really applies in our lives. In 17:1, he said, it is to his disciples, and is it inevitable that stumbling blocks should come? Now he's talking about here, if we get in the context, when he says little ones, he's talking about young in the faith, Christians, people young in the faith, young followers new believers, new followers. And he said they shouldn't be, there shouldn't be stumbling blocks in their way. You should make it as easy and as encouraging to them as you possibly can. You need to bring them along. Because he said it would be better for him who brings a stumbling block to them that a millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea, and that he should cause one of these little ones or one of these young ones, these Christians or young followers, to stumble. Now, listen to what he says. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, these young brothers sin, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, Jesus is telling these disciples what kind of a life they're going to live someday. This is how I want you to live. Now, they're not looking at this and going, this is impossible. But they're going to learn later that it's possible. But right now, pre-resurrection, pre-indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this is impossible. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, what the Lord is saying, in life, I am going to give you all kinds of instructions on how to live. One of them is not to harbor bitterness in your heart. You have to forgive. You can't hold bitterness. One of them is you're going to have to do away with your pride and take on the death of Christ in your life. You're going to have to die to self. You're going to have to forgive seven times. You're going to have, and it is all you read through some of the hard things that Jesus says in his commandments, and you go, whoa. And so that's what he's preparing them for. Now, and he uses that one example, which to me really hits home, makes sense. If somebody really offends you and your feelings are hurt and it just really gets you down in your emotions, and then he comes back and says, later that day, and says, man, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Yeah, okay. You're forgiven. Okay. You know, you're right, Lord. I need to forgive you. Whew. I think I actually can do it. I feel like I actually did forgive him. Wham! He offends me again. I thought so. That's what kind of person he is. I really thought so. Oh, here he comes. You know what? I really fell down. Could you forgive me? He says seven times. And some of us in life carry those things from just one time. And we struggle with it. So the Lord says, gives them a hard scenario about following him in life. And then they say, wow, if we're going to live like that, we need more faith. Increase our faith. Now here's an interesting thing. God doesn't talk to them about increasing their faith. In fact, he uses that to teach something different. And the truth of the matter is, it's not about more faith. When you think about faith, we think about more of it. And I want you this morning to think about just the presence of it. Just the presence of faith. What is that faith that we're talking about? What is that faith that you have right now? It's not big. It's not humongous. It's not a lot of it. But it's just a little bit of it. And what is that faith, believers, that you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ? That he is your Lord. He is your Savior. and he's going to see you through to the end. That's the faith. And I don't know. Well, here's what Jesus says about that when they ask it. They said, increase our faith. Now we're going to get this passage or this statement of the Lord in context. Because when asking for more faith and increased faith, he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, if you had just the little tiniest bit of faith as a mustard seed, you could say to that mulberry tree, get up and go over there. Be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The Lord says, no, the issue here is not faith. Well, what is the issue? Here is what he tells them next. Verse 7. But which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? Now, when you start reading this, and in our Bibles and in mine right here, there's a paragraph switch and there's a heading over this. These things are connected. This is an answer to their request. So don't let somebody foul you up here by going, well, no, this is a whole new thought. No, this is the answer to their request. But which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? Here's a look on the disciples' face. Huh? What? I can see them already. They're already looking at each other and going, we just ask him to increase our faith because we want to be obedient. We want to obey him. We want to follow him. Where's he going? Yeah, where is he going? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Am I okay? Did you lose me? No? Okay. I lost me. No, I got it. So what's he doing here? He's going to talk to him about slaves for a minute. You know the job description of a slave in that time? What was the job description? Do what your master says, period. No slave unions. No slave rights advocates. No negotiating. But have you thought of it this way, master? No. That's not how the master-slave world worked. How it works is, if the master says for you to do it, you do it. So he goes on. Let me read 8 again. But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? So the picture is, we have a slave that's been working outside. He's been in the fields, and he's been doing stuff, and he's dirty, and he's tired, and he's hungry, and it's time to eat, and he comes in, and the master says, you need to get yourself cleaned up a little bit because I don't want you serving me looking like that. So why don't you get cleaned up a little bit and serve me? And I want my food and I want to be able to drink. And then when I'm all done with that, then you can have your food and you can drink. And the slave says, that seems a bit unfair. Haven't you heard about... No,
That's not the way it works. And so the Lord is teaching something. They're not going to understand this for quite a while. Okay? They don't get this here. But they do get it later. And we need to get it. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? Oh, man, you thank you. You went, you got dressed and you came and boy, this food is great. Thanks. Boy, you've been a good slave. It's like showing up to work at 8 o'clock. And you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock and you show up for 8 o'clock for 5 days in a row. And the boss, you know, finally the boss comes up and puts his arm around you and says, man, I really appreciate you getting here at 8 o'clock. That's great. You know, that's almost funny in our society because we almost think he should. You know, I almost losing that in the illustration of our own culture. Because, well, I got here at 8, didn't I? That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be here at 8 o'clock. I don't. The boss doesn't come and tell you. Or, hey, did you know that I sat down this week and I paid all my bills? I paid my bills. Huh? Didn't you owe the money? Well, yeah, but I paid them. You don't get attaboys for that. You don't get attaboys for that. And slaves didn't get attaboys for doing what they were supposed to do. They didn't get attaboys for their doing their job description. Okay? So the Lord says to these guys, I perceive when I tell you that when your brother sins against you 7 times, and I tell you that you need to forgive him 7 times in a row, from your reaction to that, by asking me for more faith so you can be more obedient, I'm gathering that you just don't think you should do. You're just not going to do what I'm asking you to do, telling you to do. I perceive that there's something there that's going to hold you back, and you're going to tell me that, well, I just don't have enough faith to do that. I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about doing what I tell you to do. You see how that begins to separate that idea? That in order for me to be obedient, I have to be a stronger man of faith. Oh, these people that have great faith. I'm sure they can really be obedient because they have great faith. And that's why the Lord said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, that would move a mulberry tree. I'm not asking you to move a mulberry tree and throw it in the ocean. I'm asking you to forgive the guy 7 times if he sins against you 7 times. So do it. Now, right now in their life, that seems impossible to them because they don't see themselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ. They don't see themselves as dead to self, alive to Christ. They see themselves as coming alongside of Jesus and helping him in this kingdom. Boy, that attitude can sneak into us. That can sneak into us. So he says, so you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded you, say this. I'm really doing a great job. I'm really getting there. I got good esteem. I'm being obedient. No. It says, so you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. That's what the Lord When we give our life to Jesus Christ and he becomes our Lord and Savior, that's the attitude that he keeps wants to send us back to. When he puts the hard stuff in front of us in life, he doesn't want us to say, Lord, I need more faith so I can do that. When he puts the hard things in life in front of us, he wants us to realize this. I am your Lord. I'm your master. I went to the cross for you. I forgave you. I've given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you. I've given you the book for instruction. I love you. I have compassion on you. Obey me. Get the job done. Do it. Because you're my bond slave. You're my servant. Boy, if we could grasp that, huh? We could grasp that. It's not about more faith. It's about obedience. I kind of went in this direction this morning because at last men's breakfast, Jay Bonagoski shared a story of an event there in his life. And I'm going to have him come and share it. But I just want to preface it a little bit, pick up the artwork. And look at it. It is not Paul the Apostle and Peter in that artwork. I take it to be Jay, and I take it to be his brother. And Jay's going to share that story with you. This is a beautiful piece of artwork. I guess the criticism I would have with Joni on his artwork is that this looks like a really, really, really big step. I don't think you can get a bigger step of faith than that one right there. But I want Jay to come. Come on up, Jay, and I'll keep talking until you get really nervous. But I think one of the things you'll see in hearing this whole story is that a little obedience goes a long way. A little obedience goes a long way. Brother, they'll turn a mic on for you, and I'll turn off mine. That tall enough for you?
That'll work. Thanks, Jerry. Well, this was much easier at men's group than it's going to be here today. But, you know, I thought I had it all figured out. And I had a bunch of cards and stuff that I was going to talk about and this and that. Yeah, this isn't going to be easy. So anyway, I thought I had it all figured out. And emboldened by my flock group and this little lady, the tenacious little lady that says every Sunday, did you bring your guitar? Did you bring your guitar? Now, who could that have been, I wonder? Lois? They emboldened me to think that I could play music on a guitar and sing so I did. Sunday nights we'd gather and I'd make a feeble attempt to play music. And so God put it on my heart one day. He says, Jay, I think you need to go back and do Easter music at my mother's church. And I gave her, you know, a couple months' notice. This is what I'd like to do. Oh, that'd be so great. That's so great. And any time that I'd play a song, I don't know if Michelle Reynolds is here, but I would look, as I started to play, I'd look at Michelle out of the corner of my eye, and she'd go like this. It's all wrong. So then the teaching would start, and so I felt pretty confident that I could do this, and my flock group would help me practice the songs that I was going to sing for Easter. So we had it all figured out, and here I go to Montana. I'm going to do the music. And to back up 12 years, we had a business deal go bad in Montana. And the attitude of those involved, I'm not going to get into blame. I'm not going to get into details because that's not the point. It's not important. What is important is what God did to fix this. And so the attitude of those left in Montana was, if you're not for us, then you've got to be against us. And if you're for us, you must do this. Well, I didn't. And it put one brother against another. It put a mother against a son. And it drove a wedge between two brothers that there's just no way that I ever thought that could happen. Well, I get to Montana, tune my guitar. We're back Sunday morning, and I tell the lady there that does the music, these are the songs I'm going to sing. And she says, well, I'm singing all of those. Those are my songs that I picked out. I said, oh. So there was a little bit of miscommunication there. And so then I had a couple of extras that I fumbled around, songs I hadn't practiced. But that morning before I went to church, God put it on my heart to call my brother. For some, I will never understand it, why that happened. And I said, Jim, I've got a toy I want to show you. And if you could come by Sunday sometime, well, I'd appreciate it. And well, I could share it with you, show this thing to you. And he said, Jay, I can't. He left a message saying he couldn't come by, that they had another engagement in Billings that they had to go to, and that he wouldn't be by. So I said, okay. So we just getting ready to leave for church, and here Jim shows up. And I showed him my gun, and we got to talking. The ice was broke. By God's grace, this is a... We only spoke 15, 20 words, and then he had to go, and then I had to go do this marvelous thing at church by playing his music. So the music was a total flop. It did not go well, and I couldn't understand it. I said, God, this is why you sent me out here, to do this music. Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, no, it wasn't. He says, I sent you out here to talk to your brother. Then Monday, I left, and I was going to Miles City, eastern Montana, to visit Joni's folks, because I'd always go to Joni's folks because it was a safe haven. They treated me, well, they loved me, and they treated me really fair. So I'd make a presence at my folks', and then as soon as I could, I'd go down to Miles City. But on the way to Miles City, my brother called me. He says, Jay, I got this bucket list and a couple things I want to do, and your name is in it, and this is what I want you and I to do. We're going to go do this. We're going to do that. And he says, a couple times a month, give me a call. Let's get caught up. And it's all good. Praise God, it's all good. Thank you for letting me share it.
Now, this 12 years in the making, about, from the brother, the estrangement. Yeah. And I'm sure that many times the Lord had laid on Jay's heart, you need to get this fixed. But, like any of us, there's fear, there's pride, and there's a lot of things. So this is why I said before he talked, a little obedience goes a long way.
Do I have the faith when the Lord lays it on his heart? Do I need more faith to go back and get this straight down with my brother and my family? No. So the Lord says, you know what you need, DJ? People keep pestering and they say, you know, you need to play your guitar and you need to sing. And then pretty quick the Lord lays it on our heart, you need to go back there and sing at Easter. That's pretty funny when you really think about it. He sends you back there, and this lady, I can just see it. I've been in these churches, believe me, many times. Small churches. Are you kidding me? You're walking in here with a guitar, and you say you're going to sing the Easter music. I am the organ player. I'm the music gal. You aren't touching nothing. I wish I could have been in your pocket. Oh, so Jay, he's fumbling around. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess Mom didn't communicate very well to you, but I've got a couple more songs there I'd like to sing. I can do this. And then you get up there and you don't know him very well. You stumble through it and the whole thing's a disaster. That doesn't make any difference to the Lord. Just a little bit of obedience to get you going. And then you say, I made this phone call. My brother hadn't spoken to him all this time. I don't know how I was a guy. I just made this phone call. Yeah. Just a little bit of obedience. Just a little bit of obedience. And God honors that. And God's repairing a relationship that's been awry for years. And no telling what he'll do with that. So I guess as we conclude this morning and before our other prayer time, I guess I would ask you this question. Are you putting off being obedient to the Lord in some area because you don't think you have enough faith? Or are you just going to ask the Lord, look at the Lord and say, I'm your bondservant. Look what you've done for me. You have gone to the cross for me. You have died for me. I would be on the fast track to hell right now if you hadn't saved me. So if you're going to ask me to do something, Lord, I want to obey you. But I want you to get the glory. And that's what happens in a story like this. We look at Jay and we go, We look at this artwork, and of course his wife has him right up there in heaven almost. You know, in the clouds. But that's a wife drawing that. We know Jay. He's got feet of clay just like the rest of us. But a little bit of obedience goes a long way. Jay, just stand up where you are, please. Just stand up right there. I don't want to embarrass you, but here's what I want to ask. Just in the quietness of your own heart, if you've got some area of obedience that you've been struggling with and you want to be prayed for, that you would have that strength to follow Jesus because he's told you to, would you like to just stand up with Jay? Just stand up. You've been struggling in an area of obedience. And you say, Lord, I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but I'll go play a guitar in Montana if you want me to. And just stand up with him. Yeah, yeah. I'm standing with you. Our Father and our God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's not our faithfulness. It's your faithfulness. It's not our faith. It's you, the loving, sovereign God, encouraging us to be bond slaves for you. To be obedient. Lord, I pray for each one of us that are standing with special needs to be obedient. Maybe it's like in Jay's situation, maybe it's a relationship that has gone bad. Maybe it's bitterness and anger that has been there and not been taken care of. Maybe something that you've laid on our heart that is just
right there, right in the tip of our tongue, right in our heart is pounding with it, and we know what it is. Give us the strength to be obedient to you. And we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mike, come and share another prayer request.